You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Oh, look at all these trillions of dollars debt, lost jobs, and foreclosed homes.
Did I do that?
You dug yourself a hole and you crawled in it.
Robert Scott Bell.
How did the Department of Homeland Security get into the medical business?
Joe, we have a potential pandemic.
A national health emergency.
The sky is falling. A piece of it just hit me on the head.
Robert Scott Bell.
We will make this the most honest, ethical, and open Congress in history.
Is there any insanity in your family?
Do we have the power to tell people what they have to eat every day?
Senator Coburn,
today, Junior?
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Advanced Medicine Monday on the air, the Medical Rewind with Dr. Rashid Bittar, and it comes so quickly and it goes so quickly, so cherish and relish every moment together that we have. Dr. Bittar, welcome back.
Hey, Robert, thanks for having me again. It's always great to be back.
Well, we've got some interesting stories to cover this week, and in fact, we also have a caller we're going to hear from regarding some of the questions to the things we've been covering for the weeks we've been doing this together. But philosophically, if we start there with medicine and doctors, there's an article last week that just came out on Natural News, and it just relates to the British system with the medical doctors there. The government is now recruiting doctors to become thought police, pinpointing potential terrorists among their patients. Why is it that governments have utilized doctors in ways that seemingly are well outside of the training, nor would we want to, whether it be the horrors of Nazi medicine or whether it be now suddenly you're the police of terrorism? It makes no sense to me.
Well, I'll tell you, it's as disturbing as it sounds, it's probably one of those things that the more intelligent an individual, and if there's no independent thought process or no encouragement of independent thought process within that subgroup, then you end up getting a situation where people can be manipulated by those that are supposedly in the highest category of intelligence, but they're having no independent thought process. So now the government can control and motivate those people to do whatever in the line of duty, so to say.
You know, it's fascinating to consider that because, as we say, we don't want to park our own intelligence at the door or independent thought or the ability to think clearly. But so often, you know, here in the West, patients have been kind of programmed in the way doctors have been programmed in their own way. You just go in and say, okay, whatever the doctor says, that's good, that's fine. But, you know, even you as a physician, you're not going to go see another physician and go, whatever you say is fine, and park your own independent thought out the door.
Well, it's one of those things that's almost bred into the educational process. You know, you form this high elite type of a fraternity, and you indoctrinate the individual into thinking along those lines, and that everything that you're doing, other people aren't going to understand because you're the best, you're the highest educated, you're the whatever. I mean, we saw this actually in the military. You know, you take the elite forces, and they're programmed this way. I mean, I remember, you know, us taking off, having to take off our dog tags and our U.S. flags off our uniform during certain, you know, at certain times when you weren't in an area that U.S. forces were, it wasn't smart to have U.S. forces acknowledged to be in those areas. So, you know, you had to take identification off. And you're bred to and manipulated to think that you're an elite component. So it's okay to do this because we're doing something that nobody else is supposed to know. But then afterwards, like, 5, 10, 20 years later, I'm thinking back that if that was the right thing, and many of my colleagues, many of my friends that were with me, it's kind of like, wait a second, if we had to take off our identification of who we were and what country we represented, you know, why did we have to do that if it was everything was right? Yes. You know, it's for God and country. It's that patriot. It's like the Patriot Act. You know, nobody wants to defy the Patriot Act because it's the Patriot Act. But for God's sake, you read the Patriot Act, you realize it has nothing to do with patriotism.
Yes.
And it's the same thing with the medicine, same thing with the elite forces, the military. I think it's probably the way the government manipulates, by segregating. You know, in fact, when you grab a prisoner of war, what's one of the first things you have to do? You have to divide them. You have to separate and divide them so they can't talk. And because you don't want people to be able to sit there and collaborate and start to feel a uniqueness, an individual, the individuality aspects taken away, and you start feeling this conglomeration that you are, you have a mission, you have to do something, you have to accomplish something. And I think that's what's happening with medicine. Mm. We see this right now just in traditional medicine. It's almost like they're above and beyond. Nobody understands what they're doing, and they're trying to take care of the people that are getting sick. And this is almost like the doctors are almost like a innocent bystander that have become victims to this.
Yeah, it's interesting to consider that. But, you know, at all levels of society, all levels of intelligence, we are susceptible to being manipulated by those who understand these psychological tools or games or maybe even psychic manipulations. And it is somewhat disconcerting. It might be an understatement. As we said, we've seen the medical profession used for not so nice things, as much as we acknowledge the good that is done when it's done, of course. And now we're seeing, you know, with, as you said, the Patriot Act, or whether you're in a special forces and now you have to take off the, you know, anything that identifies you as being from a country. And we question the constitutionality of many actions around the world and like to see our troops come home and take care of our national defense, I think would be appropriate and legitimate thing to do. But, in a collectivist ideal, the danger to collectivism is an individual will wake up and say, hey, wait, I have a thought here. What if what we're doing is not exactly right? And that can't be tolerated, not even a little bit.
Well, see, this is the thing, that at the moment when the individual's in that particular situation, there's almost like it's almost considered to be sacrilegious to even question it. You know, it's like when a superior a ranking officer gives you an order to do something, you don't question it, or you're not supposed to question it. And the mere thought of questioning the order is analogous to being a traitor or something. It's almost thought, you know, manipulated into that type of thought process. It's motivation. Blood, adrenaline's running and rushing. And, you know, it's like you played college, high school sports or something, right?
Yes.
Or something. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, when the blood's pumping and, you know, you're on the sidelines and it's your turn to go in there and your team's losing and you're just going in there and you're ready to kill somebody. But when you're sitting back during a non-competitive time,
we can reflect on it.
Yeah, you can reflect on it. You have the time, the luxury to sit back and kind of think, and you know, you're not riled up and it's not a big deal. And the guy from the other school is a good friend of yours or something. But when you're in the moment, it's totally different. And I think, as you said, psychological manipulation, some of these other things, these are masters. These people that are doing this, they're masters at this. And I think that when you really look back at the medical profession itself, the vast majority of doctors, I would say 95% plus, really do have an innate desire to help people. But they are also afraid that by stepping out and trying to do something that may not be approved by the peer group, they're going to be ostracized and ridiculed, and sometimes even the fear of seeing other doctors that have been demonized. So they don't want to go that route. And they must think, well, if it was true, if all this stuff was true, then we'd all be doing it. But obviously that doctor that's doing, you know, that voodoo stuff called chelation, obviously can't be a good guy, because if what he was doing was good, then we'd all be doing it.
We'd all be doing it. Well, you know, it's sensational to consider, and not in a good way, that peer pressure doesn't end at the schoolyard. I mean, at all levels of society.
I think that's just a training ground. Then you move into the real world.
Yeah, and the peer pressure only is ramped up further, tied into economics and political realities as such. And then, you know, we end up sacrificing our humanity. You know, case in point, we've talked about this, the doctors during the time of the Nazi World War II atrocities. And we've seen it in our own country, where doctors have participated in experimenting on whether it be black folks or poor folks, and it happens even in the 21st century. How is it possible that we could look at humans as not humans? Of course, I think that is necessitated. In other words, if we can dehumanize the enemy or dehumanize the patient, then we might be willing to really do some horrific things we wouldn't do on our own family members.
Well, look at what's been done to our own military. Our own military has been dehumanized. Our own military has been experimented on. You know, Gulf War syndrome, we know what caused that. I mean, that was a mass experiment. So it doesn't even have to be to dehumanize the opposition. We're doing it to our own people.
Yeah, I've mentioned that too, to the people that are rah-rah, you know, the jingoistic patriotism that doesn't question. And I said, you know, we're doing more damage to our troops than the enemy is, quite before they even get into the field or theater of war or harm's way. by experimenting on them medically the way we are, much less that when they come back with the PTSD, what we do rather than detoxify them and help them deal with the traumas emotionally and physiologically, we literally drug them out of life itself.
Yeah. And, you know, that's where Project Daylily and some of those other books that come in, and these are people that have gone through this, you know, directly firsthand experience, the issues at MD Anderson, what occurred, and the supposed suicides of the doctors that were threatening to be whistleblowers with the experimentation that was done on the Harris County jail system with some of the prisoners in there.
Yes.
And, you know, these suicide with the entry wound in the back of the head and the exit wound in the front of the head of the doctor sitting in his office, you know.
It is so bizarre. I mean, you know, the thing is that there, again, there are people we have to acknowledge. It's not the nicest time to ever have to do it, but we must simply that there are people that have been manipulated for whatever reason into looking at life differently and not respecting the value of life, not defending life. And I guess that's the hardest thing when we talk about some of these issues, or even if we discuss the desire for certain elements around the planet, even within our own country, to establish this so-called one world government, you know, under a UN auspice. I mean, it's like people are going, how could that be? People wouldn't do that, but they would. They have. They've been trying to do that for thousands of years.
In 2003, when I testified before the North Carolina legislature, less than a minute before I was to go up there, the chief legal counsel from the North Carolina Medical Society walked up to me, and to me this was a threat, which came to fruition, but this is in 2003. He said, do yourself a favor and don't testify. And I said, don't testify? You know, with after all this, you don't want me to testify? And he looked at me square in the eye. He said, all you're going to succeed in doing is making it difficult for you to continue to practice in the state of North Carolina.
Did he think that wasn't a threat? I mean, that sounds like a threat to me.
4 years later, they started these antics.
Yeah. Well, so, and the basis of your testimony for, you know, those that are new to the Robert Scott Bell Show and the special advanced medicine segments we do every Monday, what was the basis of your testimony in that hearing?
It was actually for a law that was being passed, which ended up becoming the fastest law in the history of North Carolina from the inception to the actual passing by the House and by the Senate, the fastest law ever enacted in the state of North Carolina, and it was I believe the number was 986, and it was it's the due process for physicians and the right for patients to seek the type of care they wanted.
Well, so this group that told you, or this man that told you, hey, don't testify, it's going to be trouble for you, obviously they were opposing this?
Well, the vote in the House at that time for the bill versus against the bill, and as like with the Patriot Act, you know, you have a bill and they add all these little things to it. Well, we had a bill that was going through that wasn't very popular, but it was actually the North Carolina Black Medical Society or North Carolina African American Medical Society. I can't remember. It was basically all the black physicians had their own organization, and they were a minority, but they were passing something through, and it wasn't very popular. And the legislature at that time, it was a 78-22%. So 78% were opposed to the bill, 22% were for the bill. We tagged the due process for physicians. We needed somebody to sponsor that for us, and they were willing to go ahead and take our bill and attach it to theirs in order to, you know, they obviously
get it to the floor for a vote. I mean, that's not always easy to do, something that is lobbied heavily against.
Right, but the thing was that also if two organizations come together, two entities come together for, and do something like this, they obviously both think that the other's vote could help. Now, our advantage to go on with theirs was because their bill had been, you know, in the system for some time, whereas ours was brand new and we couldn't even get, you know, it would take another year or 2 years for us to even be heard.
Right.
So that was our advantage to get attached. Their advantage was they saw merit in what we were doing. They thought that it might help facilitate it. Regardless, it was 78-22%. 70% of the House was against the bill. I got up there to testify, and that's why this guy told me. After I testified, they took a vote, and it was 106-6 in our favor, and the bill passed the House that same day or within 24 hours.
Stunning, stunning. Stand by. When we come back from this break, I want to find out what Dr. Batar said that swayed these votes more rapidly than anything else in the history of the North Carolina legislature. And this is fascinating as far as restoring health, freedom, and liberty, and the stories that are often unheralded and unheard of outside of these areas. It's time to bring it back out again. Also, we're going to take a call. Those of you who want to dial in, it's 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. You're listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show, streaming through Natural News Radio. Sign up for email alerts there, as well as at robertscottbell.com. And I've got all the links to Dr. Pitar. We're going to be talking more with him after this break.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All-natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
Welcome back. Advanced Medicine Monday continues. We're doing some medical rewind, going back in the history of Dr. Pitar as a champion for health freedom, talking about a bill that occurred in North Carolina. And this was what we said in 2003. It looks like you testified. You tied some language to give due process rights to physicians who, by and large, didn't have it under the medical board, state boards of medicine around the country. You could simply be accused, and there's judge, jury, and executioner without any due process of law, and they usually use these things to attack not dangerous doctors that were doing illicit and illegal things, but doctors that were doing holistic and natural things and maybe not as much drugs as the medical boards wanted them to do. Is that correct?
Yes, that is actually correct. And in fact, in 2007, when they did come after me, they absolutely violated those due process laws that had been passed 4 years earlier. And it's amazing that, you know, you think that once we as an organization, the North Carolina Integrated Medical Society, thought that once we'd passed this law, everything was great. And then we realized that, you know, every year they were changing the law.
Wow.
And unbeknownst to us, they'd gone back and changed certain things. They weren't able to change everything, but, you know, we've got that the price, the eternal price of freedom is constant vigilance.
Correct. Yes. But I'm so very curious as to what it was in your testimony that swayed so dramatically the voters in the legislature to suddenly support the bill.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll give you a summary of it. But basically, at you know how when you're in the moment, sometimes you don't even know what you said,
but it just comes out. Yes.
Yeah, it was like I think I was told after I came off that it was divinely inspired. In fact, the day before I was to testify, something was printed in the morning of the testimony, there was something printed in the Wake County Forest newspaper, which is in Raleigh, and it was actually about a neurosurgeon who was licensed in Florida and in North Carolina, and he testified against a North Carolina doctor as an expert witness, and the North Carolina Medical Board didn't like his testimony and took his license for his testimony, and he was an expert witness for the patient.
Oh my God!
Who had a lawsuit against a doctor in North Carolina? So he, because of his testimony, they took his lawsuit. They took his medical license, and he sued the medical board. And the Wake County Superior Court reversed the decision of the medical board and gave this doctor back his license. That was that morning. It was printed.
Wow!
I saw this paper. I'm like amazed. I turned to our legislature, our legislative lobbyist. And she said, don't worry, I've already got it in the hands of every one of the legislative members that are going to be hearing you testify. Now, that when we got there in front of the legislature, basically I told the North Carolina legislature that the North Carolina Medical Board had violated one of the laws of the North Carolina Medical Practice Act, which was that a doctor cannot be segregated out for his practice of medicine, his philosophy, his testing, his treatment modalities. And North Carolina Medical Board absolutely denied that wasn't true. And the reason that they were coming after these particular doctors, which, by the way, our percentages were 17% of the integrative doctors were being investigated versus 0.07% or 0.05% of the regular doctors. So there was a, you know,
clear bias, not even subtle.
Exactly. And
over the years, I've had, you know, people contact me when I've talked about these stories. They say, that doesn't really happen. You're making that up. I'm thinking, gee, talk to the doctors that have been through this. This is a very real thing. These are like the witch hunts of Salem.
Oh,
that
absolutely.
Occurred.
In fact, that's what I, at the conclusion of my first year and a half of this last battle, that's what I told the medical board. My attorney said, don't address him. And I said, I have to address him. And he begged me, pleaded me, but I got in front. It wasn't a part of the normal decorum. And I was standing there, and they kind of looked at me, and they said, do you have something to say, Dr. Pitara? And I said, you know, when people allow a government to dictate the foods they put in their mouths or the medicines they take into their bodies, their souls will soon be in the same sorry state as those who live under tyranny. And as much as I'd like to take credit for that statement, that was said by Thomas Jefferson over 200 and some years ago.
Yes.
I said, I only promise you one thing, and that is that this witch hunt will be exposed. And boy, they did not like that. And my attorney banging his head in the table. Like, because you just, when I walked back off, he goes, you just put the nail in your coffin. And I was like, you know what? They're trying to bury me anyway. So if I'm going to go down, I'm going to make sure I'm going to
go down swinging. Right. Exactly.
So, but basically, when they made this, when the medical board said that what I had said was not true, and that was absolutely not true, that they had defied any law, that they had segregated any doctor out, and they had merits for every one of their investigations, I said that why is it the North Carolina Medical Board has approached Great Smoky's laboratory and under threat of subpoena asked for a list of all the doctors in the state of North Carolina, practicing in the state of North Carolina, that had ordered metal testing. And the medical board responded with that wasn't true. And I held up a copy of the subpoena because Great Smoky's laboratory had provided me a copy of the subpoena. Now,
wow.
That was clearly showing that the North Carolina Medical Board had segregated out a group of doctors for their philosophy and for their testing, which was a direct contradiction of the North Carolina Medical Board.
A violation, yes.
So, and I referred to the North Carolina Medical Board as a rabid dog that needed to be put down. In fact, in a couple of years ago, they had a quote in Charlotte Observer that they went back to my testimony and they quoted that this is the doctor that made this comment. Now, that, of course, embarrassed the medical board because I had this, right?
Yes.
And I said, why is it that they did this subpoena? I said, was it to – and you know, what I need to tell you here, Robert, is that I had gone back and I had shown study after study from the New England Journal of Medicine, the American College of Cardiology, circulation, you know, over and over, showing the correlation between heavy metals and heart disease, heavy metals and cancer, heavy metals and everything. You know, the cardiomyopathies with the American Journal of Cardiology came up with a fantastic study in 1999 that showed the patients that died of idiopathic dilated cardiomyopathy, which is a condition of the heart where it dilates, kind of like a congestive heart failure, but it affects the younger patient population. And they published a study, and what they showed was that in the biopsy of the myocardium, the heart tissue, they found 22,000 times the level of mercury as found in the normal tissues of normal individuals throughout the rest of their body. So this was a very, very instrumental study. This was published 12 years ago. So I'm holding up each one of these studies, and I said, is it the reason that the North Carolina Medical Board asked for the list of these doctors under threat of subpoena was to thank them for practicing medicine 20 to 25 years before the rest of the medical population, rest of the medical community was able to even look at this literature and do something about it? Is that why? Because they were trying to thank us? Because
yes.
If that's the case, I didn't get my damn thank you letter, and I demand my thank you letter. You know, and I'm shaking this. In fact, afterwards, my wife was there, and I asked her, I said, I couldn't even – I had to slam my hand down on the podium because I couldn't keep my hand steady. I was so angry.
Right.
And she said, no, it looked like you were just shaking the steady. I said, no, I couldn't hold my hand.
That's so funny. Well, I mean, you know, whatever it was effective. And as you said, and I've been in places like that where you're literally divinely inspired. The words just come through and the presentation, the way it comes through, you couldn't have planned it or you know, prepared in that way.
Yeah, you don't even know what the questions are going to be or where it's going to go. I mean, huh?
So did you have a strong conclusion, or is that it? Slam the thing down, I'm done, and then it's like the vote happens.
Well, there was a bunch of things that happened. There was going back and forth because it was a testimony, but they had the opposing side. They would ask questions, and you know, and it was a clear first round knockout. You know, we won, and yeah. Let's put it this way: the medical board had been opposing our bill, and as soon as the testimony's over, they wanted an immediate meeting. They've had seven people, and myself, and our lobbyist. They're talking to me. They had to, you know, come to a conclusion. We were negotiating back and forth of what they wanted in the bill. And I'm like, well, wait a second. They haven't even taken the vote yet. I mean, the president of the medical board at that time is concerned about whether I've got a 2.5-hour drive back. She calls me as I can't get home around midnight, you know, to make sure I got home okay. I mean, it was a very, very bizarre type thing.
Wow.
You know, it's like, wait a second. You know, for the last day and a half, you guys wouldn't even give me the time of day. And now all of a sudden, you know, you're my best friends because they saw how my testimony was able to sway the legislature. And I think that was one of their fear points, was that if I had swayed the legislature, then if they didn't come to terms with me and
right.
and continued with our bill, we would get everything that we wanted. And they were trying to, you know, for instance, one of the examples that one of the prosecutors for the medical board brought up to me while we were sitting in this meeting. And again, none of this was planned. This is after walking out. You know, they're coming all over. I mean, less than a minute before my testimony, they're threatening me.
Yeah. Best buddy. Hey, how can we help? Can we bring you some coffee?
Exactly. I mean, they're sitting there asking me if I want something to drink and need something to eat. You know, just catering to me like I was some dignitary that came from a different country or something. And that's one reason I don't trust them. I mean, I trust.
Well, that reveals the duplicitous nature of their nature. The fact that they would do that so rapidly. That's what you said. Bring up the word trust. I mean, you have to realize, as much as we like to make nice with people, if they're untrustworthy, are you asking for trouble going into agreements with them?
I would rather make a pact with the devil than with those bastards.
Well, knowing what they do, it's somewhat demonic in their advancement, and I use that word loosely, of an agenda that is intoxicating and literally harming and also killing people, as opposed to what you do and what others in the medical profession are trying to do is undo that damage, detoxify, and get healers back to healing, whether they be in the physician community or not.
To give you an idea of how demonic, you know, if you want to use that word, Dr. Tenpenny sent me an email about 9 months ago.
Sherry Tenpenny, yes. What'd she send?
An email about, she said, Rashid, this might be of interest to you. It happened in your neck of the woods. Mother took a child to get a vaccine, to be evaluated, told by the pediatrician, told them that they did not want any vaccines, that they had the religious exemption, some kind of exemption anyway.
Yeah.
The child was not supposed to get vaccinated. Mom walks to the restroom, comes back, and not only did they give the child a vaccine, they gave the child four vaccines.
Ugh.
Mom is absolutely just beside herself. You know, she's infuriated. She files a complaint to the North Carolina Medical Board and files a complaint. I think she was considering suing. The North Carolina Medical Board came back with their response was that the doctor acted appropriately and gave the vaccination to the child, and there was nothing that was wrong. Even though they had no consent to do so, there was a failure for the parent to sign a consent form to allow them to give the vaccine, had specifically told and instructed the medical practice that the child was not to get any vaccines, had an exemption, but the medical board said the doctor didn't do anything wrong.
Well, this is why, you know, I've encouraged parents to wake up and realize that the simple act of taking your child to a state licensed physician or pediatrician is a very risky proposition.
Without a doubt.
Wow. This is stunning information. And the historical references points and the experiences and stories you're sharing are invaluable for others, hopefully, to see in whatever state or country that they're in. How can we stop this from occurring and recurring again? Because that's the basis of the story that I got out of it in Natural News from last week, about the government of the UK enlisting the doctors now to be the arbiters of who could be a potential terrorist. is very eerily frightening and similar to previous times when doctors were used by the government for, let's say, evil activity.
Yeah, I mean, it's being done even here in the United States to a certain extent. You know, I mean, it's you could extrapolate this to, like, if somebody is injured, a doctor, like, you know, with a gunshot or something.
Sure.
A doctor must report it to the law enforcement authorities. And if you treat an individual with a gunshot wound and don't report it to the authorities, you have just committed a crime. Now, I can understand the rationale that's put out there, but for me as a physician, my fiduciary and ethical responsibility is to help that individual to save their life. Whether they're a criminal or not,
right,
is not my issue. My issue is, this is a person that's been injured. I must help them. But they have criminalized the act of helping an individual,
right,
unless you report it.
So in other words, the medical profession has been deputized, so to speak, even if you're not compensated by them. It's sort of like, you know, asking you to testify against yourself with the criminal tax code and other things. And, you know, this gets so far afield from what you get into the healing profession for, that it becomes an abomination. And of course, every little bit dehumanizes the doctor even further, and to the point of, what are you willing to do next? And that's, Dr. Batar, I'm censoring myself here because there are things that I want to say I'm not even going to say today.
Self-censorship.
Yes. Self-censorship. That's the only censorship I can support.
Yeah. Well, don't get me wrong too, Robert. I mean, I understand the reason for the law with the doctor having to report something. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've had, when I was at Ben Taub in my general surgery training, when I was rotating through Baylor's program, or when I was in some of the other high-volume trauma emergency rooms working, I can't tell you how many times I've taken care of criminals. With the law enforcement people had brought the patients in, I had to take care of them. And some of the crap that they did. I mean, I actually had one guy. I don't know if I should tell this story online or not, but basically showing the criminal who was really in control at that point. And because the guy was clear, it wasn't like it had to be proven in court. You know, he and one of his friends had broken into this woman's house. She was a single parent. She comes walking down the steps, and, you know, they both told her that they were going to steal everything and rape her and blah, blah, blah. I mean, they just told her this, you know, and they knew she had no place to go. And she's sitting there, she was just wearing like underwear because she'd been asleep. You know, she just comes down the steps, and these guys are laughing and telling she's going to do this, and they come running up the steps. Well, they didn't know she had a 9mm that she was holding behind her, and she opened fire on him. And, you know, first one she dropped, and the second one goes running out, jumps out of the window, and she shot him in the rear end, and the cops picked him up, and they brought him into the hospital at BAMC, Brooke Army Medical Center at Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio, Texas, and I was a resident there. And this guy, you know, is talking crap how after he gets out, he's going to go there and he's going to rape that, ECH, and he's going to do this and that.
That's horrific.
Grabs one of my nurses on the rear end, and sheriff's deputy that was there, you know, was telling the guy, you better settle down, you know, you son of a bitch. And the guy was just in care. He goes, what are you going to do? You going to hit me? So I walked up to him, and I'm leaning to do a CAT scan on him, because when the bullets hit, you know, they can kind of run rampant. There's the small caliber
bullets. Fragments and things and everything, yes.
Yeah, they hit the bone and they tumble, and so they don't go in and out like a larger caliber would. So we were just trying to make sure, because obviously nothing major had happened, but he had been shot, so we wanted to see what the bullet was. So I lean forward over him, and I tell him, you touch one of my nurses again, you are going to be sorry. And he looks up at me. He's laying back on this table getting ready to get this CAT scan.
Yeah.
He's looking up at me when I say this, and he spits in my face.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was pretty much the end of it. So I turned around, and I asked for some sux and succinylcholine, which is a paralyzing agent.
Yes, yes.
And I told him that I was going to pass a Foley catheter, but because I was afraid that he was going to be too violent and not remain in control, I had to paralyze him to put in this Foley catheter. And this guy's looking at me, well, you know, we had him restrained at the time, and gave him the sucks, and I started explaining to him what he's feeling now, you know. And of course it paralyzed him, he couldn't breathe, and I'm explaining all this stuff, and I'm going to intubate him, I'm going to put this tube down, and I'm talking him through all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then I reversed and I told him that, you know, unless he looked right at me in the eyes and I could tell that he was not going to, that he was going to settle down, I was going to go ahead and start the Foley catheter passing, et cetera, et cetera. And And I reversed him. And of course, you know, this guy was like the most incredibly cooperative individual after that.
Right,
I mean,
from
I
that
put the
point
fear got him because I told him, yeah. I said, you know, you're going to stop. I mean, this is, of course, this. Some people would question whether that was the right thing to do. But the point is, this is a guy that was a violent criminal that was, you know, not allowing anybody to do what they needed to do. And the funny part was after this was all over and the guy's now a completely complacent, you know, individual. I mean, when you tell a man you're going to pass a...
Yeah, right, exactly.
You know, you're gonna, and you paralyze them, they can't breathe, and they start feeling tightness, etc. The sheriff's deputy goes, hey, Doc. He goes, I got about 40 other people that we can use that for.
Well, this is so fascinating. We've gone very long on this segment. We're going to take a break here with Dr. Batar. I promised you we're going to get to a phone call that asks a very specific question of Dr. Batar. I think a lot of people will be interested in finding out about lead detoxification. And that's why we do this, the Advanced Medicine Monday. We never know where it goes. It's always a fascinating discussion on so many topics. And we'll be right back with more Powerful Healing on the Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
When pain is the problem, Curamin may be the answer. Curamin contains a superabsorption curcumin that can be up to 10 times stronger than plain curcumin products. Experience effective natural pain relief for joint, headache, and back pain with Curamin. It's available at naturalhealthyconcepts.com. Curamin enhances the body's natural defense mechanisms for the relief of inflammation and pain due to overuse. Most people experience relief within 45 minutes with this 100% natural supplement. Natural anti-inflammatories such as Curamin can provide pain relief without the potential side effects of Tylenol and ibuprofen. NaturalHealthyConcepts.com is an online vitamin supplement store offering Curamin pain relief with free shipping on 120 capsules. Natural Healthy Concepts also offers thousands of supplements and natural health aids. Shop the large selection of vitamins, supplements, homeopathics, and more at NaturalHealthyConcepts.com with free shipping on orders over $50. Or call toll-free at 866-505-7501. Don't forget, when pain is the problem, Curamin and Natural Healthy Concepts are the answer.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
Got a question for Robert? Call now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Looking for the ultimate superfood? One that will give you lasting energy, improve your sense of well-being, and help you build lean muscle? One World Whey is the first ever unheated whey protein powder on the market. Virtually all other whey protein powders on the market are heated. This damages 15% or more of the proteins, making them unusable to the body. Fresh raw whey has been used for hundreds of years to alleviate many health problems. The life-giving properties in raw whey are now available in One World Whey. Whether you want to build immunity, strength, endurance, muscles, slow down aging, or just feel a lot better, One World Whey may be the perfect food for you. One World Whey is also an ideal emergency preparedness food. Simply mix with water and you'll have a delicious, life-giving protein food in vanilla, chocolate, or strawberry. For your free report on the benefits of unheated whey, call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
Robert Ryan.
He is tenacious, isn't he?
He's a brave and a decent man. He's a pioneer.
Bell.
This message must be read in every newspaper, heard on every radio, seen on every television.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
All right, we're back, and I wanted to get to the phone calls. Dr. Batar, would you mind answering a question from one of our listeners?
Sure. Absolutely, let's do it.
All right, so this is Beth Ann, who's been a longtime listener, and we're going to run that call right now.
Hi, Robert. This is Beth Ann, longtime listener. Congratulations on your new show with Natural News. I do have a question for Dr. Batar. I've gone through a hellish experience with high lead levels. It took me 2 years to find out what I had after all the doctors kept giving me a prescription for Xanax. And then I started listening, of course, to your show and then to Dr. Buttar and all of his seminars that he was giving out online. He's just been a lifesaver. I did find a doctor, but she's 2 hours away to do IV chelation, so she started me on a oral chelation called Chelex with DMSA and EDTA. It's taken about a year for my levels to go from an exorbitant amount of 30 down to 7 through a provoked urine test. And I was wondering if there was anything else I can do besides this, if liquid zeolite helps, or if there's anything else that can move this along since it's been so long. 90% of my symptoms are gone, but I sure would like to get rid of the rest of them. Thank you so much. You've been such a blessing, both of you.
Well, Robert, Beth Ann's question is unfortunately a very common thing that we have to deal with, and I've heard this same type of story, you know, years trying to figure out what was wrong with them, spent a hellacious amount of money, nobody came up with anything, lots of antidepressants, antipsychotics, anti-anxiolytics prescribed in order to try to facilitate these people from stopping complaining, essentially, because, you know, the quote, their blood work comes back normal, their workup comes back normal. So the first thing I would tell you is that when we're doing these provoked challenges, we are not measuring what's in the body. We're measuring what's actually coming out of the body. There's a huge clinical difference between the two, because in a non-excretor, such as an individual with autism or an individual with cancer, or and this is just based upon observation of over the last 15 years, that certain types of pathology, the individual's genetic makeup is what facilitates them actually getting these disorders. And so one of the predispositions is these individuals have is the inability to detoxify, and so they end up becoming more toxic, and so they get the autism or the cancer, or whatever the case may be, Alzheimer's, the same type of physiology. So I would suspect that Beth Ann probably had a similar type, or, you know, maybe a minor version of that same inability to detoxify, what I term very globally as non-excretors. But a non-excretor will not show the metals on a provocation test. And if you do show a lot of metals on a provocation test, that's actually good, because at least it's showing that it's easier to pull out.
Well, let me interrupt here, because this is a place where a lot of in the medical profession aren't trained like you are, or you know, holding down that so-called party line. They'll say, see, there's no metals. This is ridiculous. The test shows there's nothing in there, even though it is, but it's just not coming out via the challenge.
Well, and that's exactly the point. And I've been blessed that the patients that are coming to me, they're ready to do whatever is necessary to get better. So they continue this course of treatment, and then we're documenting as to what's happening with their testing. And you can see 6 months later, a year later, their metal levels are 5 to 7 times higher, but their symptoms are dissipating. And I actually explained this. This was the basis of my congressional testimony in front of Congressman Dan Burton and Congresswoman Diane Watson in front of the Subcommittee on Human Rights and Wellness in 2004. I actually presented a case where the case that actually helped me to figure out what I had to do to help my son, and subsequently now over 25,000 children worldwide have received our treatment, our protocol for the treatment for autism. These children don't show any metals, and it takes consistent treatment before they start showing it. And at right about the time when you start seeing the elevation of mercury coming, that's about when you start seeing, within about a 2-week period, you start seeing the clinical improvements where there's more verbalization, there's more communication, eye contact, et cetera, et cetera. So I've got kids where they showed no metals. Now I've got a child from England. I've been treating for 4 years. No metals at all anywhere. It was like the weirdest thing. The first child that I'd seen, the child had barely any kind of metal showing up. And 3.5 years later, when we were about to start the brain recovery protocol on him, which is basically involving certain intravenous therapies to help increase neurotransmitters in the brain and then also putting them under hyperbaric oxygen. But hyperbaric oxygen is 5 times the normal oxygen of ambient air. And the problem is, if the person has a lot of metals, then you're going to actually increase the oxidative stress by putting them hyperbaric. So we have to make sure that there's no metals. But this kid had really not shown any metals. He'd had a spike up of the metals. It came back down after 3 years, had a spike up the metals. 3.5 years later, no metals showing up, or very little metals showing up. And I'm thinking everything's fine. We did one more challenge test before starting his hyperbaric brain recovery IV program. And his metals had spiked up even higher. He went from a baseline mercury when we started his treatment of less than DL, which is detectable limits, and 3 to 5 micrograms per gram creatinine is considered to be what the reference range is in the different laboratories, which, in, you know, you and I know there's no safe lemon in the body, but that's what they say, 3 to 5 is considered normal. He showed nothing in the beginning. He was showing 90, 94, 97 micrograms per gram creatinine mercury. His lead, which showed non-detectable limits, which normal reference range is 5 micrograms per gram creatinine, over 280 micrograms of lead per gram of creatinine. Unbelievable levels. This is almost 4 years after his treatment. So the point is that in Beth Ann's case, for instance, the metal level is coming down. And she also was – they used DMSA on her. Unfortunately, that is not – I don't want to get into the different
– Sure, but it's a good question because a lot of people will have gone through what Beth Ann has gone through.
Right. DMSA on our autism DVD, I go into this at length and explain why DMSA is not a good chelator. In fact, DMSA by definition is not a chelator at all. It is used by the government. It's approved by the government for chelating it's actually chemate is what it is, succinate. It's a
chemex or
lead.
Something. Yeah.
But the problem is that DMSA is dimercaptosuccinic acid. Succinic acid is the largest substrate in the citric acid cycle, in the Krebs cycle. And what happens is when you put something into the body that is too similar, the body will end up using it. A chelator, by definition, is something that the body will not it will not consume. In other words, whatever you put in must come out. The only difference is it's bound to metal. So a chelator is inert by definition. DMSA is not inert. When you put in DMSA into the body, DMSA, dimercaptosuccinic acid, almost identical to succinic acid that the body uses. The only difference is 2 hydroxyl groups versus 2 sulfhydryl groups. So the body sees the DMSA as succinic acid and starts to pick it up and use it as succinic acid in the Krebs cycle and causes an inhibition of FADH2 and further on down the electron transport chain. You go follow the cascade, it inhibits adenosine triphosphate, ATP. And as you know, that's the fuel of life. So a lot of kids that are on DMSA, you'll see them being very flaccid, then you see them hyper, get very, very hyper extenuated, and then they come back down and become very flaccid again. And so DMSA is not something that I use. I stopped using that 12 years ago. I have been a very big proponent against the use of DMSA because I find it to be very dangerous. And many parents that have brought their children that have had a course of DMSA saw worsening, you know, gut function and all sorts of other nightmares.
Sure, but that also puts you at odds with a lot of even those in the so-called chelating family.
Oh, absolutely. I'm probably the most hated doctor from the conventional and the integrative group. Absolutely.
That's why we love you here, Dr. Batar. You just do what's right no matter what. And that's so very important. That's what we stand for. And that's why – you know, the Healing Revolution on Fridays I do, the Advanced Medicine Mondays. I mean, we take on things and go places that, you know, sometimes will cause us a lot of grief from those that we would even think would be aligned with us. But we're willing to go, as I said so many years ago, where the truth and the facts take us. And, of course, we can't overlook, as you said, the clinical experience. The bottom line in your motivation that started this all for you was to help your child that was harmed by vaccines. And, you know, at that point, you were going to do what it takes. And when you find it, you know, to your credit, you didn't just bottle it up and say, I'm not going to tell anybody. You said, well, we got to help others.
Well, I can't take any credit for that, Robert. It was, like I said, it's a pact that you make with the Creator, and you don't want to break that pact. So I appreciate what you're saying, but I actually have a very difficult time taking any credit or accolade for it because I really am not doing anything except for the only thing that I can do. So I'm kind of forced into it.
Yeah, well, I understand what you're saying. It's hard in human language to put it in proper terms, but I very much appreciate what you're doing. Listen, we got to take another break here. We're going to wrap up with a short segment. We've gone a little long today on the previous, but it's been such a fascinating discussion, as it always is. I don't even want to break in sometimes. So we got to break in for a quick break. Say thanks to our sponsors here. It's Advanced Medicine Monday, the Medical Rewind. Boy, have we been doing some rewinding here. We'll talk a little bit more about Dr. Batar's book. If you haven't gotten it yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. We'll tell you about it after the break.
Tired of the same boring health talk radio? Then turn up the volume and break off the knob. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the natural health community. It's pretty cool there. You can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now, we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos, knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Worried about how you'll pay for retirement? Even if you haven't saved a dime, there's a way to trade up to a better life when you retire. The experts don't tell you, because there's no money in it for them. But thousands of people rescue their retirement this way every year. You can too, at GoRetireBetter.com. David and Ann from North Carolina did it. He had a computer job. She was a secretary. They worked hard, saved, but still, they didn't have enough to last long term. So they rescued their retirement, just like you can, at GoRetireBetter.com. Today, they live like the upper crust in a three-bedroom home with a pool. They eat out all the time, go to concerts, take trips to the beach. They don't worry anymore about outliving their nest egg. Find out how they did it at GoRetireBetter.com. That's GoRetireBetter.com.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Wrapping up another exciting and empowering discussion with Dr. Rashid Bitar here on Advanced Medicine Monday. And I think there was maybe a point or two more left to respond to Beth Ann's question. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, I just wanted to kind of finish that off. One of the things that she said was, and she wanted to know how to get the rest of the metals out. The first thing to remember is you'll never be able to get all the metals out, because as long as you're living on this planet, you're constantly inhaling and ingesting, acquiring more toxins. This is kind of like working out. You can't just work out one time and change
the oil. Yeah, it's all done. Yeah, I worked out today. I don't have to do it for 70 more years.
Right, exactly. So the best way to make sure you're getting everything out is to make sure you're on a maintenance program. That's the first thing. The second thing is that you honestly, I don't care whether it's 2 hours or 20 hours, whatever it takes, you need to get the EDTA intravenously. There is another way that we've developed getting in through transdermally that we use for long-distance patients, which has worked. I've got patients all the way from Australia and China and Taiwan, everywhere, all over the world that are taking this. But that you have to come into our clinic to do this. But I'm not saying that you have to do that. If you got a doctor, it's 2 hours away. Go to that doctor. It's worth the 2 hours, and get maybe for 5-10 weeks, do the IVs, because the IVs, especially with the EDTA, do not take DMSA, but with the EDTA, you will get the lead out, but you need to do the intravenous method or the transdermal method. Those are the only two that I know. Now, there's the rectal suppositories. Yeah. Unfortunately, they chelate out the minerals within the tissue, the local tissue where the suppository sets. The studies have shown that actually leaches out the mineral content of the tissue right around where the suppository sits, and causes leukoplastic and dysplastic changes that are precancerous. So I would have a problem with doing anything that is localized to the tissue that sits in the tissue for that period of time. Whatever it is should be in your system and be able to get into the circulation relatively quickly, and it's not sitting
moving
against the tissue.
Yeah, moving and not sitting in an aggravating a local tissue area. That's very important.
Exactly. And that's, again, does it cause that cancer? I don't know whether it causes cancer, but I know that the studies that have been done have shown leukoplastic and dysplastic changes in that mucosa. So that's something that you need to be aware of. The other thing that I would suggest, and there was a question about zeolite and some of these other components. I think that any of these things that don't do any harm, and from what I've seen, zeolite seems to have some effect. People have reported that. I haven't used it myself.
Yes.
But if people are saying that zeolite works and nobody's had any adverse effect, I would say, yes, use it. But again, you need a high gun. I think maybe the zeolite in conjunction with some of these other things, but don't underestimate the power of the intravenous methodology or the transdermal methodology. You need to get it through into the system, and 2 hours is not that far for you to regain your health. So
yeah,
I would
some
really
people are 44 hours away from places, so yeah. 2 hours is actually reasonable in the big scheme of things, but I understand. Beth-Ann, we appreciate your call and question and your appreciation of what we're trying to do here and what we are doing here as well. And also, you know, to add in, we've talked selenium. I know Beth Ann from longtime listener, she'd be taking her selenium every day as well. So she's doing a lot of good things.
Good.
You know, it's just tweaking a few things and staying consistent with a few others, as well as, you know, we talk homeopathy, the ability of utilizing the energetic signatures of these metals as well to mobilize the metabolism to address it. All of these things work in conjunction and make everything that you're already doing work better. So there's not either a zero-sum game or a negative impact. All we're talking about is a synergistic benefit.
That's right. It's an accumulation, and the amount of accumulation, the rate of accumulation, and what form of that accumulate is taking place. So I don't use oral homeopathics, but I do use some of the intravenous ones that we use to prep the body with, and it's really made a difference. So anything that you can do to help facilitate it, but just do me a favor and don't use the DMSA. You will be glad that you didn't, because people end up getting into problems later on from the DMSA, especially with their gut function and some of these other
things.
Sure.
Well, it's an important distinction, and also the fact that the body is absorbing it as far as not excreting it fully because of the similarity, a very important thing to understand. You know, and that's so much of what is also often lacking when they don't go, they can go part way there with the science and then neglect the full on way and say, wait, we don't need that happening. And that's to your credit, Dr. Pitar, again, where I say this, it's all there, you know, in 9 steps to keep the doctor away. I'm talking about the principles of bringing the power to heal back to the people by revealing these things, these insights, these simple steps you can do. And we acknowledge, you know, as a physician in your own right, as a doctor in homeopathy, you know, as we talk about this, that doctors can be very dangerous. We want to keep you away from doctors as much as possible.
Well, I think that the best thing to remember is that the word physician, actually, if I remember correctly, the foundation of that word, the Greek origin of the word, means teacher.
Yep, teacher, healer, that's right.
Right. So, you know, and unfortunately, in our current state of medicine, we don't teach anything. In fact, doctors, people will tell them the complaints, the doctor will be very quiet and just write things down and prescribe a medicine. There's no teaching going on. And so I would say it's that I would not be against doctors. I would be more about go to a doctor that's going to help you understand what's going on and how you can do what you can do to prevent it from happening. So,
well, that honors the origin of the word that they have been described with. You know,
exactly.
If they don't understand that, you might consider, well, maybe I'll go to a different one.
Well, that's one reason that I named my book, you know, in the 9 steps to keep the doctor away, because a traditional doctor, you know, you don't want, or even the integrative doctor, whoever wants to give you an herb or a vitamin to cover up a symptom or a drug, it's the same problem. The only difference is maybe it's not going to be as bad as covering up with a drug. But,
yes,
you know, when you're using a vitamin or a herb to cover up a symptom, it's the same problem. You haven't addressed the cause of the problem. I don't care about getting rid of the symptom. The symptom is a meter that's telling me if I'm going to be successful in alleviating the actual problem. So as I get rid of the problem, if the symptom starts to dissipate and deteriorate and disappear, then I know that I've been able to get rid of the cause of the issue in the first place, which is what we want.
Yes.
But by covering up the symptom, whether it's with a drug or with a vitamin or a natural substance, it's just as bad, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, and that's why we have links to the facts on toxicity. And as Beth Ann has been watching the videos and appreciating them very much, Dr. Pitar, many others who haven't yet done so, we've got the links up at robertscottbell.com and through the daily news updates at naturalnewsradio.com. What can I say? It's fascinating, and your candor is very refreshing too. Your ability to share with us these experiences, sort of behind the scenes of the interaction with patients, because it gives insight to people that, you know, are often not privy to what goes on in that realm. So we want them to know what can and could happen, so that they can walk through these things with their eyes open.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be with you, Robert. Let's just put it that way.
All right. Well, we're going to do a lot more healing in the coming Advanced Medicine Mondays. Medical Rewind, fascinating as well today. Just remind you as we end, as we do every day, that it's the thing that Dr. Pitar has written about in his book, 9 Steps to Keep the Doctor Away. The power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott
the
Bell
Robert
Show.
Scott Bell Show.
What is the number one secret to all your health problems? I'll give you a hint. Dr. Alexis Carroll kept chicken heart tissue alive for 28 years in a test tube. He said the cells remained youthful so long as the metabolic waste were washed away. But when waste were allowed to accumulate in and around the cell would age and then die. So the key to radiant health is cellular cleanliness. And the key to keeping the cells clean of chemicals, free radicals, and heavy metals that we are bombarded with in our society is glutathione. This master antioxidant is required by every cell of the body. Glutathione levels decline due to toxicity and aging. The number one food to replenish your body's glutathione levels up to 64% or more is unheated, grass-fed whey protein powder. This miraculous superfood may do more for your health than any other supplement you've ever taken. To get your free report on the best whey protein powder, call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.